A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping those commandments and laws of his that are written in the book of this law. And you shall return to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. For this law that I enjoin on you today is not beyond your strength or beyond your reach. It is not in heaven, so that you need to wonder, who will go up to heaven for us and bring it down to us, so that we may hear it and keep it. Nor is it beyond the seas, so that you need to wonder, who will cross the seas for us and bring it back to us, so that we may hear and keep it. No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for your observance." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Seek the Lord, you who are poor, and your hearts will revive. Seek the Lord, you who are poor, and your hearts will revive. This is my prayer to you, my prayer for your favor. In your great love, answer me, O God, with your help that never fails. Lord, answer, for your love is kind. In your compassion, turn towards me. Seek the Lord, you who are poor, and your hearts will revive. As for me in my poverty and pain, let your help, O God, lift me up. I will praise God's name with a song. I will glorify him with thanksgiving. Seek the Lord, you who are poor, and your hearts will revive. The poor, when they see it, will be glad, and God-seeking hearts will revive. For the Lord listens to the needy and does not spurn his servants in their chains. Seek the Lord, you who are poor, and your hearts will revive. For God will bring help to Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. The sons of his servants shall inherit it. Those who love his name shall dwell there. Seek the Lord, you who are poor, and your hearts will revive.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the unseen God, and the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, everything visible and everything invisible, thrones, denominations, sovereignties, powers. All things were created through him and for him. Before anything was created, he existed, and he holds all things in unity. Now the church is his body. He is its head. As he is the beginning, he was the first to be born from the dead, so that he should be first in every way, because God wanted all perfection to be found in him, and all things to be reconciled through him and for him, everything in heaven and everything on earth, when he made peace by his death on the cross. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a lawyer who, to disconcert Jesus, stood up and said to him, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered right," said Jesus. "Do this, and life is yours." But the man was anxious to justify himself and said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was once on his way down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of brigands. They took all he had, they beat him, and then made off, leaving him half dead. Now a priest happened to be traveling down the same road, but when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. And in the same way a Levite, who came to the place, saw him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion. And when he saw him, he went up, bandaged his wounds, pouring all oil on and wine on them. And then he lifted him up on his mount, carried him to the inn, and looked after him. The next day he took 2 denarii and handed them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and on my way back I will make good any extra expense you have.' Which of these 3 people do you think proved himself a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of brigands?" "The one who took pity on him," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same yourself." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I was thinking of asking one of the altar servers to lay down in front of the altar as if he'd been beaten up, just to try and focus your mind. But I'm sure we can do that without having to do it. So just focus your mind on the story. The man in the ditch. We all have ditches. Just think about it. We all have ditches. We all have places where we feel alone and betrayed. I remember the story of an old lady who every day used to walk down to the shops. And at Christmas time, you could see her walking down to the post office to get her stamps. What was remarkable about her was she was severely disabled with arthritis. She could hardly move her hands. But yet, you know, she liked to do all the things herself. And it was coming up Christmas, so she went to get her stamps. And someone said to her, "Look, don't stand in the queue, but go and get the stamps out of the machine." She says, "No, I'd rather stand in the queue. The machine doesn't ask me how my arthritis is today. It doesn't ask me how my other ailments are. It doesn't give me a smile." I've heard quite a few sermons over the years about the Samaritans. I think you probably all have. So let's maybe unpack it a bit, or maybe peel the onion, take the slices off, the layers. Jesus said a man was going down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he was attacked, stripped half naked, and left for dead. We assume that the man was a Jew. Now it was a long, long trip, 18 miles and 1,730 feet it drops from the mountain. There's many caves along the route where robbers can hide. It's still very much the same today. First of all, a priest comes up and walks by. But why does he walk by? Because the Samaritans were seen as unclean. There is someone who you'd never touch. Ask yourself, who would you never touch? Who would you never touch? And then there was the Levite. Heaven forbid that a Levite would get involved. They hated the Samaritans, absolute hatred, and would go as far away as possible from them to avoid any contact. Who do we avoid? Who do we avoid in our lives? If you ask yourself them questions, it makes you think about what we do as people. But let's ask some more questions of each other. Who would you expect to help you? Who would you expect to help you? Who would you want to help you? And next, finally, who would be the last person in the world that you would expect help from and want to help you? I suggested at the beginning that we all have got our own ditches, our own places where we wallow, maybe in a little bit of self-pity or just don't want to show each other how dependent we can really be and are. Look at the people in our community who that may well be stuck in their ditches. The homeless, the mentally ill, the quiet person who doesn't say anything to anyone. And do we pass them by on a daily basis and not reach out to touch them with a friendly word, a smile, a gesture? The key to the story and the answers is love. Love is the key to everything. And Jesus tries to explain that little bit of love that we can have for everyone in this world. We may take pity on those that are stuck in their ditches, the ditches in their lives. You may have pity on them people for the right or the wrong reason. But what I say to you today is, pity weeps and runs away. It's compassion that comes to help and stay. David has 5 questions to ask the teenagers today. And I thought, could I produce five things that we need to just think about? And I struggled. But firstly, find something you love to do in your life, and you'll never have to work. Find something in some way you can show love to someone else, and you'll find the meaning of life. Do not say to yourself what you can't do, but say what you can do. And to live that creative life, we must always forget about the fear that sometimes overrides us. Positive thinking will let us help other people rather than negative thinking of the way the person is or lives. And don't be anxious for tomorrow and what people might say because of what you do. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. You can't make other people choose the way you want to. Just be supportive of their choice and their way of wanting to live. Remember that even a fool knows you can't reach for the stars, but that doesn't stop a wise, compassionate person reaching for them. And when an affliction happens to you, you either let it defeat you or you fight against it. Love of one's fellow man is the supreme test of all of us, the difficult test, but the one we can succeed at.